Chapter 23. Man, Queenie was a genius. I'm not sure why I hadn't thought to suck on a chunk of ice before she'd given me the bowl, but after I'd done it, I wished I had, because it instantly made me feel refreshed in a way I couldn't accurately describe. I knew fundamentally that, well, in the godly realm of my galaxy, I didn't need to eat or drink, but at the same time, putting a piece of ice on my tongue had nearly been orgasmic. Yeah, I went there. It had given me the strength I needed to push through to the inner core, and as I stared at the chunk of rock before me, I couldn't help but smile. While it wasn't any different looking than the outer core had been, it was different, and I could feel that difference in a way I couldn't quite explain. I'd definitely gotten a lot better at the whole using my title's powers thing, and when combined with my godly sense ability, I found that I could actually discern the types of earth I was trying to pull apart. It went without saying that knowing how to approach the different rocks, metals, and everything else in the strata of the planet made it a lot easier to dig because instead of, say, digging through a 2-foot chunk of lead, I just dug through the sediment around it and then flung the whole chunk outside. So, yeah, there were a few giant mountains of dirt outside my caverns that were roughly sorted by types, but that was okay, since I'd eventually have to terrascape the planet anyway. Now, though, it was time to do the thing I was most worried about. Turning the nearly entirely solid core of rock in the center of the planet into metal. I still wasn't quite sure how I was going to manage that, since my only idea so far had been to just dig it out and leave a hollow center in the planet. Then I could fill it back up with metal, but something about that felt a bit off. I mean, I didn't have to worry about the heat or pressure killing me or anything. But to do that, I'd have to dig out a sphere with a diameter of around 1,500 kilometers, and that would take a hell of a long time. Unless, as the light bulb of an idea flashed through my brain, I focused on the core of the planet with my overdrive ability, and as I did, I quickly knew what it was made of, and nothing in particular was the obvious answer. Still, it was enough, because I had a plan. "Here goes nothing," I murmured as I reached out with my earth powers and began to dig once more. Only this time, I focused on all the crap. See, I didn't necessarily need to remove everything from the core. I just had to ensure the new inner core would remain solid while the outer core was molten enough to restart the planet's dynamo. That could be accomplished simply by pulling out what I didn't want in the core and replacing it with materials I did want. So yeah, the next day or so was spent turning the inner core of the planet into Swiss cheese. I removed most of the rock that wasn't expressly needed for stability, especially the stuff that had a low density while leaving most of the metals in place. Then I used as much iron and nickel as I had available to strengthen the matrix of the structure so that the whole thing wouldn't just collapse under its own weight. I say that like it was some exacting process. No, I just shoved some metal into the spots and used my magic to fuse it together, which was basically the opposite of what I'd been doing until then. Unfortunately, there was still a major issue with the inner core. While a planet like Earth had a core that was mostly iron and nickel, this planet's core was mostly a mixture of quartz, feldspar, and biotite. And it probably goes without saying that was a suboptimal mixture for generating a dynamo because it was significantly less dense than iron. That, however, was the ultimate problem, and the one I'd wanted to solve with the denser metals. If I used things like rhenium and platinum, I'd need less of it, but at the same time, it wasn't nearly as abundant. In fact, when I told Queenie to add rhenium to the list, even though I knew it was rare, we'd ended up adding less than a few billion tons of the stuff to our existing stockpiles. While that was nice, it was nearly negligible because we needed nearly 2 billion times that much material overall to complete the core of this planet. Tantalum had been similar and yielded about twice as much material. But at the same time, it was significantly less dense at only 16,650 kilograms per meters cubed. And hafnium? Don't even get me started. Still, more was better. And we were in those areas mining anyway. That was why I had made the executive decision to go a whole level lower on the periodic table. Previously, we'd been looking for the densest metals, which all lived on row 6 of the periodic table of elements and initially the ones only on the right half of the row. I'd further expanded it to include the entire row, even though it was less good, but even still, we were barely at half of what we needed. So now, Queenie and her aunts were going after row 5 of the table, which, while not as dense, were significantly more abundant. Well, mostly. Palladium and rhodium were still rare as fuck, but cadmium, silver, molybdenum, and niobium were a lot less rare, and using those would solve one problem while leaving another. Less density meant that the inner core needed more space, which was why I was now ripping apart the outer core of the planet, going through the same method I had with the inner core. And honestly, I wasn't sure it was going to work. That's when I realized another problem. The outer core, unsurprisingly, was made of pretty much the same stuff as the rest of the planet, which was mostly useless rock, and it needed to be made of iron, nickel, and cobalt. Despite the entire fucking planet seeming to be made of iron oxide, there wasn't actually that much metal in either the inner or outer core, and most of what I found wasn't actually available as big chunks of metal. So, yeah, another fucking problem. And while part of me had wanted to tell Queenie to have ants straight up strip mine the place for iron and whatnot, that would take too long. So I just asked them to let me know where it was on the various asteroids and moons spread out across the galaxy. After that, I'd begun separating out all the hematite, Fe203, and magnetite, Fe304, that I found in the planet's core and inner core for usage while I built my ridiculous series of caves and tunnels within it. The whole while, I had to use not a small amount of energy and ingenuity to keep the whole thing from just collapsing in on itself in a massive implosion. Yes, it was ridiculous and time-consuming, and by the end of a week of 20-hour days, I thought it might be too much work, because I was only half done hollowing the whole thing out. Still, I had persevered. And why? Well, because I wanted to win and defeat Zaxxas, sure, but mostly for this moment. "What do you think, Queenie?" I said, as I proudly showed the Ant Queen my work.
"There are a lot of tunnels, Master," she replied as we moved through my network of caves. "You must have worked exceedingly hard."
"I did," I said as I wiped my brow with the back of one hand. "And now we can start adding metal." She didn't say anything for a long moment. Rather, she focused on her surroundings, antennae twitching. Then she slowly turned to me and smiled.
"That will be a sight to see."
"Indeed," I said as I smiled back. "Is the ore placed accordingly?"
"It is, Master," she nodded at me. "As you specified, I have had all the ore moved here."
As she said the last word, a red X marked a spot on my mini-map relatively close to the star, and it blinked a couple of times. "Thanks." I took a deep breath. "Now comes the hard part.
I bit my lip as we made our way out of the tunnels. Not blowing up. With that, I teleported the pair of us to a spot she'd indicated and immediately felt the heat of the star burning on my flesh. The huge burning orb loomed in front of me, and while I had seen it before, I hadn't ever gotten this close. Sure, it couldn't hurt me exactly, but that didn't mean floating so close that I could see the glowing surface in all its infinite majesty was pleasant. Sure, it was an amazing sight, and if it hadn't felt like it was going to combust any second, I might have enjoyed it more. Perhaps when I was at a higher level, I'd gaze upon it and be able to resist the urge to turn away. And it was about to get a whole lot worse. "Well, it looks like you've got everything as I asked," I said as I looked around the area. There were huge stacks of floating ore, asteroids, and a giant dome of hollowed-out rock a few kilometers across.
"I did my best, Master."
Not only did I believe her, but she actually looked pleased with herself. And honestly, she should have been. "Well, I'll take it from here," I said before cracking my knuckles and getting to work. The first thing I did was use my earth magic to pull apart the asteroids. It was similar to what I'd done on the planet and didn't take much time at all. Well, comparatively anyway. While I did that, Queenie and the ants moved the chunks of ore into the various piles around us. Then I began the next phase. As it was the one I was most worried about, I decided to start small. I took a fist-sized chunk of tungsten, hefted it in one hand, then I moved closer to the star. Why? Because the melting point of tungsten was just a hair under 6200 degrees Fahrenheit. Let me just say that standing that close to a star with a slowly melting chunk of metal in your hand wasn't exactly fun, but it made melting one of the metals with the highest melting point in the universe relatively easy. Still, I wasn't here to have fun. No, I was here to learn. So, as the metal in my hand began to melt, I focused on keeping the globule together. I didn't really care if it maintained its shape or anything. I just wanted it to not go flying off every which way. It was harder than I imagined, but soon I had a glowing globule of tungsten in my hand. So, you know, pluses and minuses. Then I teleported my molten tungsten to the dome Queenie had made for me and began to coat the surface of it. This part, thankfully, wasn't that hard, because magic. Even though I had to both keep the rock from shattering, melting, or otherwise coming apart when I applied molten tungsten to it. It probably goes without saying, but I repeated the process until I had covered all the rocky dome's surface with the material. And then I waited for it to cool. Given the vacuum of space, that didn't take very long at all. But even still, I took the opportunity to practice using my cold magic to make sure the cooling took place both evenly and efficiently. It wasn't hard, since it functioned similarly to the earth magic I'd gained from the title, but I'd never been one to turn down practice. "I have made a bowl," I said, when I pointed at my new disc a few hours later. "Gaze upon it and be amazed."
"It is a very nice bowl, Master," Queenie said with a smile. "What are you going to do with it?"
"I'm glad you asked, Queenie," I replied with a flourish of my hands. "I'm going to fill it with ore and move it toward the sun. Since tungsten has a much higher melting point than the other metals, it will hold its shape while everything else melts. Once the contents are molten, I'll teleport to the planet and pour it in."
"And this won't cause the planet to explode?" Queenie asked, clearly concerned.
"Well," I rubbed the back of my head, "it might.
I tapped my forehead with one finger. But I have math on my side. It was true. I had worked out all the calculations a while ago, and I had considerable room for error.
That is not surprising, Master. I should never have doubted that you would find a way.
Queenie seemed pretty impressed as she spoke.
Would you like us to begin moving the ore into the disk?
Yes, I smiled at her. I would like that a great deal.